नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानचिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै नाम श्रेष्ठं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवा शङ्खात् यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं समर्चयसि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परिकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं
हरे कृष्ण जय गो माता की जय।
Satyanarayan Prabhu, congratulations, it's just the beginning. How many? 350,000? 320,000 Arabic and Farsi together, is it? Just Arabic. Last year, or in the last year, 320,000 Arabic books were distributed. All the hard work, well, behind it all, Satyanarayan Prabhu. It's amazing. Srila Prabhupada's mercy only manifested through you and all the others who have taken part in this. Today is Gopashtami, Gopuja, worshipping the cows. I was asked to speak about this topic, so Hare Krishna, by taking the blessings of all the devotees, I shall attempt to do so. As all of you are aware from reading Srila Prabhupada's books, cow protection is an essential part of the Krishna conscious movement. There are many such statements within Srila Prabhupada's books. And Srila, practically also, Srila Prabhupada wanted to set up and demonstrate communities with cow protection at the center. Cow protection is central to Vedic culture, which nowadays, in its present form, is known as Hinduism. It's a central part of Hinduism. Hindus feel, in general, Hindus feel very strongly about cows and cow protection. Somewhat like in the way that people in the West feel very strongly about dogs. Srila Prabhupada was surprised when he saw so much affection for dogs in the Western country. He said, what kind of civilization is this in which they make the dog their best friend and kill the cow? The fact that Hindus take cows and cow protection so seriously is actually, or has been traditionally in the West. Nowadays, the culture of trying to be nice to everyone. Many people have that feeling, be nice to everyone culture. And there are others who carry on with bombing as usual, but there are a lot of people in the West, so they're so careful that you can't even make a microaggression. A microaggression is forbidden, but killing cows goes on. But in the West, there's this its phrase, a holy cow, which is a sarcastic expression, which means that when someone takes something very seriously and very importantly, but it's foolish to do so. Just like someone may have a pet project. Some politician may have a pet project and everyone else thinks it's stupid, but they want to push on with it. So they may call that a holy cow. Something that it's actually against your interest to promote that. Just like my pet project is to build a superhighway from here to there, and then, but it costs so much, and how many people will you? And if you take all the pros and cons, it's ridiculous. But he's attached with, they call it a holy cow. The idea that Hindus are stupid to worship the cow and not eat the cow. In my childhood, I remember seeing regularly an advertisement in the newspapers by Oxfam, a famous British charity, soliciting funds for the famine in Bihar in the 1960s. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We lost the sound again. Hare Krishna. Is anyone here from Bihar? Anyone? No? No one from Bihar? One. So you know about the famine in Bihar in the 1960s, huh? Blank look on his face. No, he's saying it. When I first went to Bihar, I asked, I said, no one had ever heard of it, but it was advertised in the newspapers in England in the 1960s. They're collecting funds for the famine in Bihar, which didn't actually exist. At least no Biharis remember it. So the advertisement was there. It struck me out of the millions of things I must have seen during my childhood. Something struck me and it stuck in my mind. There was an advertisement by Oxfam showing an old man, very skinny, skin and bones, lying down with a cow next to him. And Oxfam said, there's more or less the message that you should give money to us because we don't just feed people, but we educate people. Just like, for instance, here's someone dying and there's a cow next to him and he doesn't kill the cow and eat it. Now, you can go anywhere out if you go outside this metropolis of Vrindavan, as it's become. And you go to any village in the area and you'll see old skinny men, skin and bones, lying on the charpoy, the kind of bed outside their house. That's what happens to old men who are in the mode, getting ready to die. They become very skinny and weak, and it's not that they're starving per se, they're just dying, that's all. But in the West, you don't see dying people. They're all locked away. They're like criminals. They're all locked away. So this idea, Oxfam is promoting, or was promoting, that we're educating the stupid Hindus to kill the cows. Such a attitude they had. So anyway, why? What's all this big thing about cows? For an Indian Hindu, mostly, there are Hindus, so we beef also, in Kerala especially. But for Hindus in general, it's a question they might not be able to relate to, just like in the West if you ask people, well, why do you love dogs? And it's just the culture they're brought up in. And dogs are so nice, they lick you. What else they do? They wag their tail when you come in. They're very nice, aren't they, dogs? Well, Krishna likes cows. Krishna is a person. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he likes cows. It's his preference. So he could like anything that he likes, but he likes cows. His names are there, Gopala, Govinda, in relation to the cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya, Jagat Hitaya Krishna, Govinda Namo Namaha. In one place, Srila Prabhupada stated, in one of his purports in Bhagavatam, he stated that Krishna is the benefactor of the cows and the brahmanas. Out of the two, cows more so. That's quite a statement. Vrindavan is all about cows. Right? It's a cow herd village originally. Now we can hear non-stop the sound of horns. Not cow's horns, but the car horns and temple horns, non-stop. We should be hearing non-stop the sound of cows, but we're hearing the sound of cow's horns. We know about the gopas and the gopis. The very word gopa, gopi, means that their whole life is based around cows. Of course, in Vrindavan, everyone's life is based around Krishna. But in terms of their daily activities, how they pass their day, it's all cows. It's completely centered around cows. As you may know about cows, they need a lot of serving. They invoke a spirit of, you have to serve them. We talk about go seva. Often people think go seva means you get some grass and so on, you can get some laddus and feed the cows. They have gur in those laddus. If they have, they're going to get rotten teeth if you give them too much gur and diarrhea. Anyway, I guess you know all those things. So the cows need serving morning till night, or attending to when they're grazing. The modern system is you lock them all up. Makes it easier just to lock them up and not let them out for any tie them up, not let them out for any exercise. But otherwise, cows, they need to be served, and they're very happy to be served. And if the cows are happy, then Krishna is happy. The gopas and the gopis, their life is defined by cows. One who's got more cows, they're more prestigious. Some time ago, I was looking at a book by an American anthropologist. They do things, these anthropologists, they go among primitive peoples and study them. Like some people study insects, and some people study asteroids and space, and some people study primitive people. Like the, so this anthropologist was among the, I think they call them bearers in Saurashtra in Gujarat, still up to the present day. They wear their traditional dress and they wander here and there with their cows and their goats and their sheep, mostly cows. So just one thing struck me, that the anthropologist wanted to take a photo of one of these cowherd men in his traditional dress, which he did, but the note was made that he insisted to be photographed with his cows, or at least some of them. His identity completely identifies with cows. Without cows, it's not me. His life is all about cows, cow protection. As Srila Prabhupada several times mentioned, it's go-raksha, cow protection, not dog-raksha or donkey-raksha or buffalo-raksha. Yes. Especially cows are mentioned. In Gita also, go-raksha, specifically mentioned. So it's an upside down society in which they give so much importance to the dog and kill the cow. There's so much confusion and pain in the world, and especially in the Western world, probably more so in America than anywhere else. People are very confused and suffering, and they know. It's not difficult to say to people that, yeah, life is full of confusion, pain. They can feel it more and more and more. Now, what is the cause of that? Now, one cause, or the underlying cause of all suffering in this world is Krishna Bhuli Se Jivanadi Bahimukhatev Maya Taridaya Samsaraduk. Becoming forgetful of Krishna and inimical to Krishna, Maya gives us so much distress. But there are levels of distress also. Kali Yuga is a very distressful time because it's a very sinful time. It's the purported that much we're sinful, that much we suffer more and more and more. The Srila Prabhupada in one purport, at least one place, mentions that there's so much suffering all over the world. There's so many wars. And because wars and violence of all different kinds, pains, confusion, fear, no one can be sure that of anyone, they can't trust anyone. Why is this horrible situation come around about in human society? The major karmic factor among all the multiple sinful activities going on all over the world, the mass cow slaughter. There must be suffering. There cannot be any peace. It's farcical to talk about peace when there's cow slaughter. Slaughterhouses. Cows just treated as entities for us to exploit. The whole demoniac civilization is based on exploitation, not cooperation. Cooperation as much as minimal cooperation that we require so that one group may dominate another group, or cooperation because we're being dominated by one person and we get paid by him, so therefore we cooperate. But it's not a willing cooperation. Everyone is envious of everyone else. And people, at least devotees, or even Hindus in general, up until recently, before slaughterhouses became a major part of the Indian economy. Srila Prabhupada said that there were no slaughterhouses when the British were here. There was some animal killings going on since time immemorial. There was no slaughterhouse. Srila Prabhupada said the British wouldn't have dared to do it. But when the Hindus came in, and then they brought in slaughterhouses, they could get away with it. The British thought, politically thinking, they thought they couldn't get away with it. So the idea of killing cows and treating them as some economic entity that you put food into, you take milk out of, and then when there's not enough milk, putting the food in and taking the milk out, when the economic equation comes to not enough in the plus, kill the cow. So this horrible idea. How can they think like that? Well, in Christianity, not spoken by Christ, but there's a statement. Actually, it's before Christ. It's right there in the beginning in Genesis, isn't it? That God gave man dominion over all the animals. Dominion means overlordship. So they took that to mean, okay, that's a license for us to just kill all the animals. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example to rebut this idea, that it's just like if someone says, I'm going out, please you look after my children while I'm away. You come back and say, okay, where are my children? Yeah, I looked after them. I cooked them and ate them. horrific example, but that's the mentality. To look after them means to care for them, but instead kill them. And if that that idea became more justified with Christian theology. Christ himself didn't teach very much, actually, but I believe it was Augustine who gave the authoritative pronouncement from his mentally speculative mind that animals have no soul. And again, Srila Prabhupada would rebut that what are the symptoms of life? There's life when there's a soul. What's the difference between a dead body and a living body? The same chemicals are there. What's the difference? The difference is that the living force has left. The living force is what in English is called the soul. When the soul leaves, there's no more life. So it's true not only in humans, but in animals, in plants. Wherever there's life, there's a soul. So how can you say there's no soul? But this idea, the animals have no soul, so it's all right to kill them. It's demoniac kind of reasoning. The idea that the cow is just an animal, means you can torture them, you can kill them. Recently I read something from some so-called scientists that we're still not sure whether animals actually feel pain in the same way that humans do. And any child can understand that animals feel pain. But the scientist can't understand because he's a scientist. He has to understand everything scientifically. I wonder how scientists ever get married, how they fall in love or whatever. I can't prove that I'm falling in love with you, but... maybe some... What's the chemical basis to this? What kind of romance you're going to have there? So this idea, just an animal, and we can kill them. Just an animal, we can kill them. There was a pretty famous movie years and years ago. I didn't see it. But what was that? The Planet of the Apes. Was it? You remember? It must have been the 1960s or 70s, something like that. When a bunch of gorillas or something, they capture humans and they treat them in the same way. Indians know it also. They treat them in the same way that humans treat animals. They lock them up and torture them, have no feeling for them whatsoever. Parikshit Maharaj, he was incensed when one cow was being mistreated, beaten, not killed, just being beaten. He was ready to kill that person. How could this be going on in my kingdom? He was ready. And nowadays in India, how many? It's difficult to say because there are so many cows killed and illegally exported to Pakistan and Bangladesh. How many are killed? It must be hundreds of thousands. Well, tens of thousands, maybe more than a lakh a day of cows are killed every day. Often I say in public lectures in India that if one cow is killed in this country, even in 100 years, if one cow is killed, that is a great blot on the whole country. It's very, very sinful even to kill one cow. It makes the whole place, the whole atmosphere impure. You can't perform pious activities in an impious place. Where cows are killed is an impious place. So if one cow... Now India has got this so-called independence for... 61 years, is it? 61. Okay. So glorious. Glorious India. Glorious. But glorious? What's glorious? Killing cows? So many cows being killed? They just made this big statue of Iron Man, Sardar Patel, tallest statue in the world, until someone thinks we will build a taller statue. All these Mahatma Gandhi and Sardar Patel, they struggle for independence. What for? So they can kill cows? What's the point? Well, what is the glory? It's more shameful for this country, at least in the West they're ignorant. But here it's going on, and the government is promoting that, actually. They're not stopping. Of course, the present government is supposed to be committed to stopping cow slaughter, but it's not so easy. Even in Gujarat, where one of the many states where cow slaughter is forbidden, and the majority of the population are very much against cow slaughter. From my observation in Gujarat, and maybe Punjab also, the Hindus, and of course the Jains also, they're more than other places, more concerned about this, about all over India, but especially in Gujarat, it's very prominent, the idea of cows should be looked after. But cow slaughter goes on in Gujarat also. Why, wherever there's pockets of Muslims, in village areas, cow slaughter will go on. Police can only stop it if they have a shootout. They're bold, they're strong, they kidnap cows or buy them and kill them. And cows are taken over the border to Maharashtra, to Pakistan also, to illegal slaughterhouses. Just as I've seen in border areas cows being driven. Where are they going? They're going just over the border to Maharashtra. It's easier to get away with it. Maybe that was before the BJP government, I don't know. It's going on, brazenly, even here in Vrindavan. It's going on. It's the money culture. Money is the main thing. Previously the culture was based on dharma. People were very afraid to perform sinful activities. But then they had the Green Revolution in India, in which a major part of increasing the grain production and feeding the people, having food security, was pesticides. Previously Indian farmers, especially in Gujarat, where the influence of Jainism has traditionally been very strong. Jainism, where they're very strong on the principle of no ahimsa, no violence, unless they're running a dalda company, in which case, some of you may know the history. Dalda was very popular at one time, something like margarine. And Hindus liked to cook in it, they thought it's vegetarian. Then it came out that it's full of buffalo fat. People were shocked because the company was owned by Jains. Sorry, you could trust Jains. But for money, anything goes. It's the money culture. Money is the main, or maybe the only principle. It's going on. There are so many examples. People are protesting. People are protesting about their governments in the USA, in France, in Britain. Why are we selling weapons to Saudi Arabia, which they're using them for killing civilians in Yemen? Why would Canada, $15 billion contract? What the hell do we care if a few Yemenis get killed here and there? $15 million. Money, it's the money culture. Money is the main thing. So the idea that you can get profits from your crops, if you have to, somehow they convince the people to start using pesticides. Now in Punjab, which was the Punjab in India, the most successful place for the Green Revolution, main farm more agricultural produce per capita than any other part of India. Now it's full of cancer because it's full of pesticides, and cancer is everywhere. When I first came to India in 1976, the word cancer was practically unknown. Diabetes, the word was unknown. Now, it's very normal. Anyone here who doesn't know anyone who has had cancer, who doesn't know, maybe a three-year-old. Everyone, right? In India, everyone has cancer. Eating contaminated foods, the reaction is there. But the idea that we have to make money, that's the main thing. And cows may be some collateral damage in our money-making schemes. At one point I used to go to a lemon farm just outside Baroda in Gujarat, surrounded by fields. Now it's all urban. Urbanization going on. So there was a farmer just short distance from the little cottage where I was sent. I could stay there peacefully and do writing. And I'd go and talk to him. Patel, most of the farmers in Gujarat are Patel, by caste, their name. And they're known to be very pious people, Patels. Generally the Vaishya class in India is very pious in some ways. In business, cheating, but this, that, anything. But they're religious, they like sadhus, they like cows. So, pious people. So one time he used to have two bulls which he used for plowing. One time I came back after being away for some time, after some months. I saw he only had one bull. So I asked him, what happened to the other bull? I sold it. Sold it. Just as I sold. No one could sell their cow. Even the camels. In Rajasthan and Gujarat, there's a caste who keep camels. They would never sell their camel, even when the camel gets old, because they think the camels, the camel's been working for me all their life. They won't sell. They'll just keep the old camel. And we're not talking about camel protection, but they would. Nowadays they're selling because money. They can't afford to keep because everyone has to have a big TV and an air conditioner and a cell phone and send your children to school so they won't look after camels, so they can be an engineer and a doctor. So you have to sell the camel, sell the cow. It's all money, 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 money. We can't afford to keep the cows anymore. We have to be realistic and sell. Sell them means to kill them. When you say sell, that means you're no longer protected. You're too old to work for you, he's too old to work for anyone else. That means they'll end up in the slaughterhouse. That's all. So this Krishna consciousness movement, a major part of this movement is to protect cows. It's not once a year, Gopashtami, that we talk about cows. It's supposed to be our culture. Instead of money culture, we should be promoting cow culture. Srila Prabhupada was a revolutionary. He wanted to change the whole society. And changing means changing the whole attitude to life. The communist idea of revolution was based on that, changing the attitude of the people from being one of a society in which the strong dominate, the rich dominate, and religion is used as an intoxicant to mislead people. The idea, we have to have a society in which everyone is equal, changing the attitude, changing that whole attitude to work. Instead of you work for someone or you employ others, then instead We all work and we're all in it together, and everyone works according to their capacity and takes according to their need. So it's changing the whole attitude to life means changing the attitude from the money culture, I, me and mine, what can I get for my sense gratification, to the dharmic culture, which is very much based on cow service, cow protection, living with cows. Is it possible that in India cow killing could become as normal and people are just as ambivalent about, or not ambivalent, they're just, what's the word? They don't care about it. As in the West, it's possible. It's possible. In Japan, due to Buddhist influence, it used to be that cow killing was just not allowed. Now it's just the same as everywhere. Japan is very much part of the West in many ways. So cow killing, beef eating, no one thinks that they... What do you want? Do you want beef or chicken? The flights that go in and out of India, they don't usually serve beef. Beef, chicken, pork. Oh, beef, chicken. I think I'll take beef. Just like that. It can happen in India also. It's already happening in Kerala. Hindus freely eat beef. It's cheap. It's healthy. It's nourishing. If you're going to eat meat, then you have to think, if you have any money, right, then beef is cheaper. Where is it? Or do you think the Brahmins in Vrindavan could eat beef? Well, they started eating, many of them started eating garlic and onions. Right? That's also forbidden. What's the next step? Eggs, then chicken, then mutton. And what's the next step? There's nothing left except beef, is there? It's a downward slide. It tastes good, right? Does it? Anyone? We don't think so. Many of us used to think so. I was raised in a family with beef, it tastes nice. Why should we give it up? Anyway, we're going to die, so we'll die by eating beef. They don't care. They don't think of the laws of karma. They don't believe. Who's afraid of the laws of karma? Even the pesticide, people would think, not only they'd think that it's wrong, but they have an understanding that if I do something wrong, I'll get a reaction. People used to hear the Puranas, Garuda Purana. When someone dies, they read from Garuda Purana. It tells you, if you do this sin, you get this reaction. People are dying all the time when families have 12 children, which was normal before contraception and abortion, another major part of Indian life. Should I ask? That's too embarrassing. How many women here have had an abortion? It goes on. Even initiated devotees. We have heard. It's convenient. It's easy. It's wrong, but it's over and then you can forget it. These sinful activities are going on. So people, they don't know about the laws of karma. Or they may think, I'll chant Hare Krishna, I'll go on pilgrimage to Badrinath, I'll get rid of my karma. They're not afraid. The scientific teaching that we all are products of chemicals only, dust thou art and unto dust thou shalt return. That sounds like Darwinism, doesn't it? We're just all chemicals. Anyway, we're just all chemicals. Asmi bhutasya dehasya kim puna agamano bhavet. When we die, body is burned, finished, no one, they don't come back again. So, live and enjoy. And in the process, if you like to eat beef, well, what the hell? What does it matter? Live happily. So the Krishna conscious movement is meant to change the world, beginning with what? Well, a major factor is this book distribution, right? Giving book. Why are we so happy that the books are going out to the Arabs? Otherwise, what are you going to do? How are you going to reach them? Give them real knowledge. Prabhupada's Vidyate Vidya Granthis Chidyante Sarva Sangshaya, his books which pierce through the coverings of all illusion and remove all doubts. Yesterday evening I had a very enlivening discussion with Vaisheshika Prabhu, who very, very clearly understands. Satyanarayan Prabhu, very clearly understands. Janananda Maharaj, very clearly understands. We've got to preach Krishna consciousness, we've got to get those books out. These are the books which can and will change the world. What will your 3 minutes talk do? But if he takes a book that can change his life. These are the books which are going to change the world if we distribute them massively and preach according to those books and live according to these books. And we'll find in those books, right in the first canto of Bhagavatam, how Parikshit punished someone who wanted to punish a cow. Prabhupada writes that to kill cows means to end human civilization. Where is civilization? Anywhere in the world is there civilization? How can we say there's civilization if cows are being killed? So it is a major function of the Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness is meant to change the world, and a major part of that is establishing cow protection. But it's not just by opening a goshala, even a very big goshala. There's in Rajasthan, the Pata Medha. Establishing goshalas is okay, it's a good thing to do. And there's the Golaksha Dal, which these people, they go around and they find out people who are taking cows to the slaughterhouse, and they kill the people who are taking the cows to the slaughterhouse. It's illegal. It's going on. It's quite effective in stopping cows being killed. But it's not going to stop cow slaughter. Not by making laws, just like I said, in Gujarat, among most of the states in India, cow slaughter is forbidden, but it goes on, either by exporting the cows to a state in which it is allowed, or illegally, with the connivance of politicians and the police. It's all money, so you get a good profit, then you have to pay off the politicians and the police, and you can go on. So it's not just by making laws. One major factor, it's essential, if in this country cow slaughter is going to be stopped, we're going to have to convince the Muslims and the Christians, who are an increasing demographic within India. We're going to have to convince them, because like I said, in Gujarat, the laws against it, but where the Muslims are strong, they'll go on doing it. It's an act of defiance, as much as they like to kill cows, but it's like an act of defiance to kill the cows, and it can be very dangerous to even promote cow protection, because if they can get away with it, people who are promoting cow protection, they're routinely killed especially in South India, in Mangalore area, in Tamil Nadu, in other parts of Karnataka, and in many parts of India. It's a regular thing. You'll find someone's trying to stop cow killing and they'll get killed, because the people are making a profit from cow killing, want the cow killing to go on. So we're going to have to convince them. And there are actually some Muslims who are, they themselves promote cow protection. It's a complex scenario here in India. But we're going to have to convince them how to do that. It won't be only by intellectual arguments. We can say it's bad for health, but that's to eat beef. But that's not going to convince everyone. Those arguments are well known in the West, and there are still plenty of people who eat meat, and they don't give a damn about it's bad for their health. So just by saying it's bad for your health, that's not going to work. We can talk about karma, purification, harinam. It's the spreading of Krishna consciousness. It's a whole package. There has to be book distribution. There has to be harinam festivals. Devotees have to go out in the public and meet people and speak to them. It's a whole package. Purification of heart is required. Otherwise, people, they don't care. They tell them you'll suffer in a future life. They don't care. Another personal anecdote. Once in Thailand, where people are Buddhists mostly, I asked for, and eating of all kinds of flesh, even on the street you'll find live grasshoppers, and they're put into a wok of hot oil and then very crunchy. They like to eat all different kinds of things, not beef. Buddhism came out of Vedic culture. So the idea is there not to kill cows, not to eat beef. So I asked one woman once that pork is the most popular food, the most popular meat. So I asked one woman that, don't you know that in your future life, because they all believe in future life, that you'll become a pig by eating pork? So she said, yeah, I'll be a pig. I'll be happy as a pig. I'm happy now, and I'll be happy as a pig. Sunuk, is it? If you know, anyway, you don't know Thai culture, but Thai culture is based around sunuk. Whatever you do, it should be sunuk, which means happiness. If I'm happy now, I'll be happy as a cow, they don't care. They don't care. Unless there's strong, insistent preaching, utishta, jagrata, get up, wake up. Even among our own devotees, there's so many. You get to hear so many sinful things going on. What to do? We have to change the whole society. Just like in the West, people are very fond of dogs, that's their culture. We have to make a culture. We have to make a culture in which getting up early in the morning, going to Mangalarti, chanting japa, being a devotee of Krishna, not killing cows, it's all part of a big package. We have to establish that. That was a major part, that was practically, you can say, Srila Prabhupada's mission, his vision, that the whole world should be Krishna conscious. We should start off with microcosmic communities, farm communities, in which we can show to the world, show people we can be happy by living simply, producing our own food, protecting the cows. We don't need electricity. We don't want to teach our children all the garbage that they violently forced on them in the schools. We want to teach them from Prabhupada's books. We're going to give them a real education. We don't want to prepare our children to become part of this slaughterhouse civilization. We have our own communities and show Krishi, Goraksha, and Vanija, the Vaishya culture. Krishi, Goraksha, and Vanija. Srila Prabhupada said this, Vanija. Krishi means agriculture, Goraksha means cow protection, and Vanija means business. But business doesn't mean this demoniac business of multinational corporations selling all kinds of things which are no use to us, making drugs and promoting the drugs and tobacco and all the... grow some food in Mathura district and then send it to Assam or something. Just whatever food is grown locally, eat that. That's all. Living it simply means living the way people always used to live. That's all. It's revolution. Yeah, revolution means to come round again, come round to what it was previously. But Krishna in the center. It's a different culture. It's a different. Completely different approach to life, which we all live together for the sake of serving Krishna. And we have to do some work. That's the way the material world is set up. That sharirayata pichate naprasidhyata karmana. Just even to maintain the body, we have to do some work. But that should be very simple, and that not ugra karma, horrible work, that the work itself is so exhausting and so mentally drains us that after we've finished it, the only shelter is sex and alcohol and maybe some TV program or something. We have to take shelter, we have to divert our mind because our mind is so disturbed by the work that we do and the people that we're living among. But rather the work itself should nourish our consciousness. That is possible if we live in a simple, non-competitive society in which everyone's needs are taken care of and people are engaged according to their propensities. People of Brahminical disposition, they like to study, teach, worship, they like to do that. If you engage them as a bricklayer, they won't be happy. They'll be very frustrated. If you try to make someone whose propensity is to work hard and serve others, try to make them into an intellectual, they won't be satisfied. They'll be frustrated. Nowadays, who's satisfied in their job? We talk about job satisfaction. Job satisfaction comes when you leave the job and go home. Then you're satisfied. Satisfied that it's over for one day, and sometimes it's not over. Here in India, you'll find people, that's all they do is work. Then they go home and then they go back to work the next one. That's all they do. And one devotee told me that before he joined full time as a brahmachari, that his boss had it that, okay, you don't, what do you want to go home for? If you want to sleep, we have cubicles, you can sleep, we'll bring you food, there's a shower there. What do you want to go home for? Just work, that's all. And he was damn serious about it. And it was considered wrong to go home. Because what else is there to do but work? So we want to show a different way of life based on cow's protection, very, very central. In some ways, this idea of collecting for cows, we're collecting for the cows, that works against cow protection. How is that? How can collecting for the cows work against cow protection? Because it gives the idea that cows are an economic liability. You have to collect for the cows, that means to keep cows is an expensive undertaking. Just like previously, if someone wanted to finish someone else off economically, they could calculate, and then the king could gift someone an elephant, a few elephants, and you can't give them away because the king gave it to you. But to feed an elephant and look after the elephants costs so much, it finishes you off. So who can afford to keep it? To keep an elephant is a sign of great opulence. You have so much money to keep elephants. So if we think that cows are an economic liability, that reinforces the idea that, well, when they get old and they're no longer productive, then kill them. What else can you do? It's just, who should starve, me or the cow? Better the cow starve, then I'll live. So, to establish cow protection as a viable basis of society, we have to show how keeping cows enhances our situation economically. That the cow, even when old, is economically valuable. And apparently the cow's urine and dung become even more nutritious for the soil after the cow stops giving milk. So that's very valuable. If it's understood that the cow's urine and dung is so valuable for the land, and then the food becomes so tasty and nutritious, and then we don't need to put artificial fertilizers. And for people who want to eat beef, yep, okay. Want to eat beef? We will provide you beef. This was Prabhupada's proposition. Want beef? We'll give you. In New Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, you tell the local butchers, we will give you cows. We will give you. You don't have to buy them. But we will give you cows that die naturally. You just have to wait for them to die, that's all. Then we'll give you the cow. You can sell the beef. But you should give us back the cow skin for making redundancy. Prabhupada proposed that. It's right there and printed in his conversation. And then the devotee said, well, I don't think they'll allow that, Prabhupada, because they won't allow you to eat the meat from a dead cow. Prabhupada said, what is this? It's the same animal, the same meat, but you have to kill them. Why don't you just wait for them to die? So Srila Prabhupada was very pragmatic. He didn't expect everyone to become a vegetarian. That's Vedic culture. They're beef eating, meat eating, it's allowed in Vedic culture. Not for people who are on the path of serious spiritual progress. But it's understood that such people will be there. But no slaughterhouses. If you want to eat meat, you can take from a dead cow. From the leather you can make shoes also. Leather shoes are allowed in Vedic culture. Different things. Book covers you can make from leather. But don't kill the cow. And then people who want to eat meat, they're allowed. They can offer once a month some unimportant animal. Srila Prabhupada would use that phrase. Some unimportant animal to the deity of Kali. Then you can, but not keeping slaughterhouses. So this idea, Srila Prabhupada had it all worked out. He could see how it could work. Somehow along the line we lost the thread. Maybe we're also too much in the money culture. We think our temple is successful if there's plenty of money coming in. Alright, that's one sign of success. But that's not all. We have to see how we're actually influencing the whole society. How we're setting up communities where devotees can live. Not that they come once a year, that they save up all year working in some Ugra karma for some Ugra person, some nasty demon. And then they come to Vrindavan once a year, and for 1 month a year they're a sadhu, and then it's back to part-time sadhu, and most of the time doing Ugra karma. Before they shave in, creep on a durajana, chapala shukala dalagira, uselessly working for some rascal person, just for some what little sense gratification or something. So this cow protection was there traditionally, central to Vedic culture. Milk is required, ghee is required for yajna. And milk, Srila Prabhupada said, milk means cow's milk. Of course there's donkey's milk, buffalo's milk, camel's milk, human's milk, pig's milk, all kinds of milk. But in Shastra where milk is mentioned without any qualifier, means cow's milk. And that is particularly required to nourish the brain tissues so that they become potent for spiritual realization, so that the quality of sattva guna is nourished by taking milk good for the brain. Srila Prabhupada also said fish is good for the brain. That's why you find Bengalis, he says it. They're very intelligent. And Japanese, they eat a lot of fish. But that is good for a calculative brain, not for spiritual understanding. For that, milk is required. Now, very prominent in the Western world is this veganism or veganism. Heard it pronounced both ways, in which they're against taking any form of animal product, and they've captured the high ground, so to say. We used to say vegetarian, it's morally better, but they're saying no, you shouldn't even take milk because they torture the cows, and they've got a point. But they're against anyone taking any milk at any time. They say the milk is meant for the calf, not for you. But actually the milk is required. Some from the nutritional point of view, some animal product is required in the human body. Otherwise, I have to finish, is it? Time up. Okay, don't protect any cows. Oh, sorry. I have a lot more important points to say, but Hare Krishna, maybe some other time.
Hare Krishna, thank you Maharaj for enlightening with Mosa.
I didn't finish. I didn't come to the conclusion. It's important. I think it's important. But anyway, Hare Krishna. What can I do? Instead of questions, if you have time for questions, you have time for a little more talk. I'll try and make it quick. Huh? Okay, I'll make it quick. So I was going to say, veganism, they seem to be on a moral high ground, but the vegans, they also require vitamin B12 injection, which you don't need if you take milk from protected cows. The point that cows are happy if they are protected. It's not violence to the cows. They are happy. It's just like people from the West may come to India, say, oh, the poor dogs, they're running around the street, no one's looking after them. Then the same can be said about the cows. If we're not going to protect the cows, then they'll be wild cows, and they'll be subject to be mistreated also. So actually, this veganism, we can counteract it weekly by establishing cow protection communities and showing how happy the cows are and how happy the humans are if they live with happy cows. Another little anecdote from my own miserable life. A few years ago, at Bhaktivedanta Manor, just outside London, I was walking around the grounds with the father of this body, and within the paddock there was a cow, and I just put my hand through the fencing and started petting the cow. And my father says, oh, so tame. He was surprised because in England the cows are in the fields and if you come close to them they run away. They're afraid. He thought the cows are very afraid of humans, but he didn't know in all his life, he must have been about 70 years old at the time, he didn't know that cows can be very happy and trusting of humans. He'd never seen that or dreamed of that. So we have to show that, how people can live very happily. Srila Prabhupada said, millions will join our farms. If we had our farms together now in America, would people join? Sure they would. If the time is just right, people are so frustrated with society. There are hundreds and thousands of homeless people in America, probably more than in India. If we had these farm communities together, we could practically show a better way of life. So this is a major part of our preaching. Without it, our preaching is incomplete. Just like it says, in our books it says, society should be like this. Okay, when we first had the books, we were distributing them in the 1970s. Then we were a new movement. Now we're not a new movement. And people are going to say, well, we're just all talk. We're just all talk. And what are we doing practically? We have to establish these communities. Otherwise, sorry to say, but we are failing Srila Prabhupada and his mission and his vision. We're not doing full justice to the vision Srila Prabhupada gives in his books unless we establish these farm communities, cow protection in the center. Hare Krishna. I made it brief. Please don't clap. Make cow-centered communities better than clapping. Or join such a community. I've just been given something from some Vikalp, Sri Kamdhenu. Sri Kamdhenu Services Ki Orse.
It shows that how even the cow lovers are a victim to these products like the tallow and ice creams and fruit.
Right. Do you like to eat ice cream? Vadilal's ice cream? What do they have here? That's supposed to be vegetarian. They say they're vegetarian. Toothpaste. Toothpaste means? Animal products. What else? The ladies like to put lipstick. Putting on a piece of cow there. Hare Krishna. Here in Vrindavan, you're in Vrindavan? No. There's something like... you stay in Vrindavan. Okay. So there are some things going on in India. Communities. We're trying to establish on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. What did he say in New Mayapur, Janananda Maharaj? Prabhupada said, what did Prabhupada say about New Mayapur? He said, if we had three or four such communities, we can take over the whole of Europe. What was the exact quote, do you remember? Something like that. Hare Krishna.